Welcome to the Nine Mon Be Praised. I'm Jack.
And I'm Joe.
And we're here for a little, you know, I was going to say we're wiping our hands, but that sounds wrong. We're dusting down the microphones. These all sound like euphemisms. Maybe we stop. Maybe this is going to be a 30-second teaser. Maybe we... All right, we're done. See you, everyone.
See you later, guys. It was a fun season. No, we're back, baby, for a whole new
That's
season.
That's right.
Of
back in business.
Nine Mon Be Praised.
Nine Mon Be Praised.
Jack, this is where it all began, you know.
Yeah, us badly trying to sync up and say the same line.
Terrible Wi-Fi, appalling sound, and somehow we still managed to gauge an audience.
Yeah, that's when you know they're really back, when the production values have just spiraled down.
You know, back in the 90s wilderness years, you know, when any old TV production came out and people were desperate for content. Well, I figured when we started our podcast, and I'm going to be praised with the terrible, you know, you sound like you're in a toilet and things like that. People were desperate, you know, they were desperate to hear anyone talking about Doctor Who.
Yeah, they still are. They still are. Nobody's talking about this show. We're going to bring it back into the popular consciousness.
Well, it's just so happens that I had a message this week, you know, from a podcast listener saying, well, where's Jack Shanahan gone? That charming man. I want to hear more of him.
Yeah, well, here I am. You know, all Joe had to do was provide me with one compliment. It's like, all right, team, I'm back.
I'll clear my schedule. I'm back, baby.
I'm clean, I swear. All right, put me back in.
So just to make this abundantly clear, Jeff Richardson, this is all your fault, all right?
What was the last episode that we did?
You and I recorded Warrior's Gate last.
That's right. What did we say at the time? What did we say was the story we were going to release next week?
Was it Invasion of the Dinosaurs? We kept mooting Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
It could have been. Somebody fact check us. I'm going to say it's Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
We never quite got around to it. And then for ages, we've been in the pipeline trying to fix a date to record what is going to be one of our episodes this year. And I'm going to go through the order of episodes that we've already determined this year. And Jack and I, we're taking a new approach this year. We're not winging it every week. We're not going to promise you something at the end of the episode and then go, do you know what we decided in the week? We don't want to talk about that. We're going to talk about this instead.
Yeah, you know, it's true. We've recorded a teaser to promise you that. The promise is separate from the episodes.
Like Rusty Davis and Stephen Moffat, we're still bullshit though, so I'm sure we'll change.
Yeah, that's right.
Things will change.
Here's a question for you, Joe. After you say this list, how well do you think this segment is going to age?
Terribly. Like a terrible, fusty old wine that's been corked.
Oh.
Not well. But, you know, we'll give it a go. Well, look, shall I start the run through for series? Oh God, what series is it? Series 4? Series 5?
Series 4. You like Series 4.
Okay. Series 4.
Go on.
I'm on Be Praised.
Yeah.
Episode 1 is going to be The Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride. Yeah. Good fun, isn't it? I don't know why I said innit.
That was your idea.
It was. Let's see.
No, I expect you now to give me reasons as to why we're talking about these things.
Oh, I see. Wow, I really am out of practice. I used to do this intuitively. Runaway Bride, very simple one. We're in. Fun fact, did you know this show has been happening for at least 60 years? Because I didn't.
The Nine Won't Be Praised.
I am 60 years old.
And you're a boy.
Yeah. Runaway Bride was the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. David Tennant's coming back. Catherine Tate's coming back. Let's go and revisit where it all began.
Rusty Davis is coming back. We're basically skipping back in time 15 years.
Yeah, my first pitch to Joe was, how about, you know, for our first episode, why don't we review the final 10 seconds of Doomsday? and then nothing else. And then even Joe was like, yeah, we can't do that for 2 hours. We can't stretch Donna Noble going for 2 hours.
If there was anybody that I would trust to talk for 2 hours about 10 seconds of television, it's you and me. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't think we could put the listeners through that so early.
No, it would probably be as short as our long game episode, which is our shortest to date. And this is, bear in mind, in the same season where we had the 5-hour Stephen Moffat trial.
Oh my God, I think I'm still exhausted from that. I shouldn't say that. Cut that. We want people to listen to that.
Once we have just run through these stories that these episodes that we're going to do, I'm going to hit you with a few facts, you know, that I think are going to thrill and surprise you. Okay,
are
so
these facts about Doctor Who or facts about us?
About this podcast.
Just okay. I don't know anything about this podcast.
Well, I'll tell you something. We ain't put anything out for, I think, for 9 months to a year, and people are still listening. Yeah.
Oh, God, are we still big in Ohio?
You will find out. Episode 2 is going to be, and this is going to be deliriously enjoyable, In Defense of Pip and Jane Baker.
This is one we've been privately threatening each other with for at least 2 months.
We're each going to come with several reasons as to why we think Pip and Jane were perfect for Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. I haven't got anything yet, but I will. Give me a few weeks. Let me think about that one.
Three eyes in one breath you had there. It made you sound a rather egotistical young lady.
Oh, go away.
Okay, episode 3 then, it was an idea of mine, is going to be a commentary on the BBV classic, The Zero Imperative, which I believe you've never seen, Jack.
I don't think I even knew. I know about BBV. I know about a bunch of their things. I don't think I'd ever heard of this one.
What, if you ever wanted to see Sylvester McCoy snogging nurses in an insane asylum, now's your chance.
You always, anytime you're like talking about these things, like these weird underground Doctor Who things, I feel like anytime you want to highlight how bad they are, you always start with, if you want to see Sylvester McCoy doing blank, you better watch this.
Well, this is Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, John Pertwee, Peter Davison, Caroline John, Louise Jameson. They're all in there.
Who's? I mean, I feel like this might be a question for that podcast. Who leaves with their dignity intact the most?
Oh, Christ. Well, for about 2/3, Colin Baker's underplaying it, but then he's evil at the end and he goes way over the top of everyone else, so nobody.
Oh, I look forward to
it. Actually, Louise Jameson's only in like 2 scenes, so I think she salvages her dignity.
Hey, well, hey, honorable mention,
but it should be a lot of fun. It's low budget, there's a lot to mock and there's quite a bit to praise as well, so that should be an interesting one. Jack, episode 4 is all about historical, so why don't you tell people about that?
That's right. Well, this was an idea I had in the depths of last year when our diaries didn't align, which was one of the things that made the very early on in the Whittaker years, one of the things that drew attention was the return of proper classical style historicals. So with stories namely like Rosa and Demon of the Punjab. So I have suggested we do a comparison of a Hartnell historical with a Whittaker historical to see what both of these eras do that are similar and what they do that are distinct from each other. And the stories we have settled on are Rosa for Jodie Whittaker and the Aztecs for William Hartnell, which I think is a interesting choice since they both happen in their respective first series. And as we were talking about earlier, the Whittaker historical and the Hartnell historicals both change in subtle and significant ways subsequent to these kinds of stories. Oh, and is the Aztecs Hartnell's first proper historical?
Well, I guess the first story is his first proper historical.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, and Marco Polo before. Oh, no, so it's his third.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
This is the accuracy you can come to expect for the Nine Will Be Praised, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be on the Essex going, this all really happened, didn't it?
Our fifth episode then is going to be, it's compare and contrast. We are doing the script editors of the 1980s. So Christopher H. Goodread, God himself, Eric Saward, and Andrew Cartmell, who kind of has godhood syndrome as well. So
I thought for a brief second it sounded like you were going like Christopher Bidmead, script editor, God himself, script editor, Eric Saywood, script editor. I thought you were briefly suggesting God for a brief period. It was like, fine, I'll do it. I'll script edit Doctor Who.
Well, there was a small interim period between Christopher H. Bidmead and Eric Saward where Four to Doomsday was made. I'm sure God had a hand in that story, you know.
he had a hand in getting it done.
I mean, Monarch thought he was God in that story, so.
That's true. That's true. We never thought. We that story deserves its due someday. Not from us, but by someone.
Can you imagine if it came out that the only true existence of God on this planet is Four to Doomsday?
I cannot imagine the theological argument you have to come up with to make that point.
I mean, I think just watch it. Proof conclusive. Episode 6 is, now we're hoping it's going to be episode 6, but we're bringing in a guest for that one, and it's going to be?
Oh, yeah, it'll be my, a friend of mine, Jack Lamer, from, who is a musician, and a friend of mine from university, who I did some, I think at least, who I did a review with. He, over the course of the last 2 years, has been enjoying I hope he's been enjoying a lot of classic Doctor Who. From what I understand, his girlfriend has been choosing not to partake in that adventure of his. But yeah, he really wanted to be a guest on the podcast, and I asked him what he wanted to watch. I gave him free choice, and he really wants to talk about Pyramids of Mars.
I mean, a stone cold classic. And is he fairly new to classic Who?
I think so. I think he'd watched choice episodes growing up, but I don't think he'd ever properly binged a lot of classic Doctor Who over a period. So
I always like talking about classic Who with you, because obviously you came to the series from the new series and then went back and discovered the classic series.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. He started with the new series and then went back.
Yeah, it's always really, really interesting to talk to people where those sort of classics weren't embedded, you know, as they were growing up, but they sort of discovered them after they fell in love with the new series. I think that'd be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I also like the fact that we're announcing this and I haven't even asked him if he's still game to appear on the podcast.
You're locked in now, Jack. Okay. And episode 7, so this is as far as we've got into the season. It'll probably be about 10 episodes, but episode 7 is an idea of mine. I'm calling it quest stories, but they're not really quest stories. It's stories which have multiple locations. So we're talking now like Keys of Marinus, The Chase, The Daleks' Master Plan, The Key to Time season, and The Trial of a Time Lord season. So it's where we visit a lot of places in quick succession, and whether that sort of formula works well or not for Doctor Who. Just listing those stories, I can say sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Didn't Mark say this idea was really naff?
Yeah, he said it was terrible. He went, oh, what are you going to talk about there? Just to prove him wrong, we'll talk about this one.
is this why this one, we put this one last at the moment?
Yeah, this one might get changed over time, should we discover something else. Now look, Jack, that's our season that we've determined so far, but now I would like to regale you with some fascinating facts about the Nine Will Be Praised before we out. Are you ready for this?
Oh yeah. Okay, what have you got?
So, our most listened to episode of the 9-1 be praised is
yeah.
the one where we discussed Colin Baker's doctor.
Ah, okay. That big finish connection really getting us over the line.
Followed by, I'm so sorry about this. I did have a few more listens than your defense. Trial of Stephen Moffat, the prosecution.
Aye, here I go.
No, but people always like to listen to people having a bitch and a whinge.
Well, I seem to remember we put the poll up on Twitter. The defense won, but if you're the most listened to podcast, if that's the most listened to episode, then maybe you were the real winner all along.
Well, I think I was talking to, I'm going to name drop now. Well, it's kind of a name drop. Toby Haydock the other day. And he was going, well, people are kind of drawn to these things on YouTube that are scathing criticisms, you know? Like the negative draws more attention than the positive. I think that is true. I think that is true.
We've got the ratings to prove it.
Our next most popular is our first episode, the Reboss Operation.
Oh, I love that. Good. We put so much prep into that first episode, except for the actual technology we used to record it with.
Oh, I know, right? But do you know, technically, this is what makes me laugh the most. Technically, our most listened to thing is, because it went out as four separate episodes, our Horns of Nymon commentary.
Oh, that's good. We had a good time. I remember we had a really good time recording that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could you not?
Oh, my God. We managed to do the entire sequence of Sol Deed and Romana having their face off in episode 4.
Do you know, I went on Twitter the other day, not something I often do, but I saw on Hamster somebody else was recording a Nymon commentary. I was like, you what? Who's this?
And do you know what, right? It was the funniest thing. During episode 3, he goes to me, Joe, I've got to confess something to you. This is not the first time I've done a Horns of Nymon commentary. And told me about how he'd gone on some other podcast. And then in episode 4, I went, well, I feel like this is an appropriate time to tell you. This is not the first time I've done Horns of Nymon commentary. Well, I mean, I had to cover it on Hamster, and he was game for it.
This is why the captions were, this is neither of our first.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you imagine our listenership is? Our primary listenership?
It's got to be the United Kingdom, doesn't it?
It's the United Kingdom, followed by the United States, and then just behind, Australia.
Ah, there you go. Good old Australia, coming in third.
And you know what, like, when I look at my age stats for Handsome a Blunt Penknife, the sort of 35 to 50 is like my massive, it's like 80% of my listenership, because I think people love the nostalgia of that. Our highest is 23 to 27.
Wow, we're really appealing to the youth.
Look at us, a pair of old kids. So we're really appealing to the youth.
I'll say.
So 20-somethings out there listening to us talk about Doctor Who, good on you.
Wait, do you have the age breakdowns of all your podcasts?
Yeah.
So what about Untitled Star Trek Project?
Oh, God, I don't know. Nathan takes care of all that one. I'm not too sure of that one.
What about the one with Mark?
That's quite young as well. That's sort of 20 to 35. So it's
young.
It's only Hamster that the old gits love. And it pleases.
Because they're all on it.
Now, you know how this sort of gives you a male-female breakdown as well? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, it says male-female and non-binary. Well, we've got 1% of non-binary listening.
Oh, that's nice.
That's happy days. Unfortunately, we only have 6% of females listening and 93% of males.
Ah. Some things tragically never change, unfortunately. Well, anyway, to borrow something from Mark, anyway.
But that is the stats of 9-1 Be Praised. That is our next season of 9-1 Be Praised. Jack, are you excited?
I'm deeply excited. I really miss doing this with you.
It means we've got to watch The Runaway Bride at some point this week, you know.
Yeah. That sounds like a good evening to me.
Santa's a robot.
Santa's a robot.
Well, look, I mean, I suppose
pockets.
We should out in the usual fashion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we haven't rehearsed this. This could go terribly wrong.
We're pretty good. I remember the last couple of times we were pretty good at this.
I think I remember the trick to it. So a three, a two, a one. The nine
on be praised. Oh, yes. We still got it, baby.
Hey, that's pretty good.